Welcome back to The Fast Break, episode 154 overall, and season 2, episode 4. We're going to be doing the next 5 or so episodes as some free agency off-season breakdowns. And today we're going to start with a little battle of LA. We've still yet to see these teams match up in the playoffs, but both teams made a number of moves this offseason. So, Aaron, let's start with the Lakers and them acquiring Russell Westbrook. What are your first thoughts on them forming a new big three there?
A lot of people are saying it's not going to be great. I think the Wizards definitely got equal value. I think they're content with the return they got. I think they're going to be pretty good with all the pieces they got back with Harrell, Kuzma, KCP, and picks. I just think that was a really good return for the Wizards. On the Lakers side, I mean, they're really old. Westbrook needs the ball in his hands a lot of the time, although he does get triple-doubles. Assists, rebounds. He really is someone who likes to have the ball with him. So hopefully AD will get some more opportunities with more ball movement, but at the same time, he's not really a shooter. So it's just all just fit questions really that I see first. But obviously with 3 all-stars all here on this team that won the championship 2 years ago, it's hard to say that they're not one of the best teams or one of the top tier contenders.
Yeah, you know, we've seen there's always been questions about LeBron playing with other ball-dominant guys, but he's made it work before, namely Kyrie Irving and Dwayne Wade. Although he wasn't shoot first, he still got 25 shots a game. So we'll see how it works. I think the only difference here between Westbrook and those guys is it's a lot of dribble drive for Westbrook, not as a gifted shooter as Dwayne Wade or Kyrie Irving. So we'll see how that works. I mean, I've seen some jokes online. Westbrook drives in, kicks it out to LeBron. LeBron kicks it out to Davis, and they just never take a shot. So we'll see what happens. I think it'll just be about spacing with this team because they lose a valuable shooter in KCP, but they did make some signings, bring in Malik Monk. So kind of retool, some guys left, but they were able to replace them. I think this works for them. You make a good point, though, about the age of this team. The Lakers will have no future after this, so they really need to go all in and try to get another title before LeBron's out.
I mean, the Lakers will never have trouble getting free agents or stuff like that. I mean, they were able to also get Kendrick Nunn, who's a young guy, then Dwight Howard and Carmelo Anthony, definitely much older guys coming back. Same with Marc Gasol. They were able to re-sign Tim Horton Tucker, who's a good young player. But, I mean, KCP was not only their best perimeter defender last year, also their best three-point shooter. He was really crucial to them. He probably their best backup in the bubble. He was their third best player, really. And Russell Westbrook is going to have to be really dominant and really doing a lot more than he's done before. He's played with great players. We've seen it work, but he's definitely the third guy here, and I'm not sure if he's ever really been down that far and never really been that lead player or not the lead player. Even with Kevin Durant, he was still kind of the face of that franchise for a while afterwards. So it's interesting. I like it more than a lot of the media does, a lot of people talking about it, but I still think that there's a lot of questions, and it's not a guaranteed upgrade. We'll just have to see how it works out.
Yeah, we'll see how it works. You know, I also am a fan of the move. I think both teams did well, like you mentioned. But I want to go back to Malik Monk. You mentioned Caldwell Pope was a really good defender. I think Monk's a little undervalued by the media, but he's not going to guard anybody. He'll knock down. He'll have 25 points some games and really got no credit for that in Charlotte, but he's not going to guard anybody. That's where this team is a little – in question sometime. Anthony Davis always says he wants to be defensive player of the year, but once you get in January and February, he's not the greatest post defender. You never know with LeBron and Westbrook. It's a lot of guys that if they want it, they can be good defenders. It's a very it's a team that I think Frank Vogel's gonna have a little bit of a challenge with getting them motivated game in, game out. I think come playoff time this team will do well. I'm just not sure how it works in the regular season.
I think AD has to play the 5. He has to be willing to do that. Their backups are Dwight Howard and Marc Gasol, who are just not what they used to be. They did get some more shooting kind of throughout. I mean, you have Kent Bazemore, Wayne Ellington resigning. Kendrick Nunn can shoot a little. Even Melo can shoot the ball. It's just a lot of fit questions. The bench isn't clear. It's a lot of older players and younger players. We don't know where the tiers start and end on what type of minutes certain players will be getting. So, yeah, we'll just have to see how it works out. They still don't really have a point guard. It's going to be LeBron. I mean, all the LeBron teams have LeBron as their point guard, but they still don't with Russ even. It's not there's no clear positions is what I'm trying to say. It's just you have so many guys and you're trying to see how it fits in. But Vogel, yeah, is probably going to have to experiment with a lot of different lineups and just try to see what works in time for the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what role some of the guys on the bench have. Kendrick Nunn took less money to join the Lakers, was getting a lot more offers from the Knicks and the Heat and wanted to go chase a title in L.A. Even a guy like Carmelo, we've seen him be a sixth man the past few years, but he didn't have three ball-dominant guys on the court with him. There's really, at times, you could say he was the number two option behind Dame on the court. So we'll see what role he has. And then it's just going to be interesting. LeBron needs shooters. I'm not sure how many they have aside from Monk and Carmelo, because Davis is a good shooter, not a great shooter. Westbrook will take shots. He's not knocked down, though. So we'll see. LeBron always needs guys to kick to late in games. We'll see how that works out.
Yeah, there's just so many questions because there's players on this team that we have just been at the end of the bench for a lot of teams. Like Wesley Matthews comes over, Trevor Ariza comes over, Wayne Ellington, I mentioned, Kent Bazemore, and all these guys are just kind of floating around, but probably not people you've heard of, at least for the casual fan. And now they're coming to LA, the biggest spotlight. They're all going to have to take a slightly different role than what they were taking before. And it's just interesting to see how that works out, because you have three dominant scorers, really. And then the rest of the guys are all there kind of to win a ring. I mean, Kendrick Nunn took like $5 million a year when he easily could have gotten, I don't know, upwards of like 12, 13, 14, 15, around then. There. So, yeah, I don't even know who's their fourth best player. Like, is it Melo? Is it Kendrick Nunn? Is it Malik Monk? It's probably one of those three. But I still don't think that they're going to consider themselves like that. They're just kind of in the next tier of guys.
Yeah, we could do a whole episode about Kendrick Nunn chasing a ring at, what, age 25? Never seen that before.
Yeah, I mean, he was undrafted too. So, I mean, guess he's starting early.
So what do you see as the ceiling and the floor for the Lakers this upcoming season?
I mean, this is a team where the ceiling is the NBA, like winning the finals. I think they're definitely a team with the potential to do that. Last year, however, they did lose in the first round. And I get that was because of injuries, but you have to understand how good the rest of the West still is. I mean, once Jamal Murray's back, the Nuggets are back in contending status. I think the Blazers are going to be there, the Jazz, the Clippers, the Suns, probably the Mavericks now with Luka getting a year older. You have the Warriors coming up. All those teams could beat the Lakers in a seven-game series, I believe. It's not out of the conversation. I mean, the worst team there is probably the Mavericks, but I can see the Mavericks taking LeBron to seven. So I think there's a legitimate chance they could lose in the first round, just depending on what Russell Westbrook works out with his team. I don't think they'll miss the playoffs. I don't think they'll really even be in the play-in. I think they're that good. But although they have title potential, I think that there is a chance that this team could kind of fall out of contention early.
Yeah, the ceiling is obviously for a LeBron team, the NBA title, like you said. So I'm going to say that that's the ceiling. Although I don't think this team wins the NBA championship with this roster. I don't think they beat the Brooklyn Nets at full strength. I think some of the teams in the West are much better than them. I think the Utah Jazz could beat them. Denver Nuggets could beat them. Golden State, Phoenix could make a run at them. Even the Clippers, who we'll talk about in a minute. And I think the floor, like you said, the West is so loaded. I mean, every team in that conference could win a playoff series 1 through 15 probably. So I think the floor for them, LeBron's not going to miss the playoffs again. I think the floor, like you said, losing, I could see them losing probably as a 7 or 8 seed in the first round is the floor for me. I could see them in the play-in again, but LeBron's not losing in the play-in, like I mentioned. So it's kind of a wide range of where this team can go. And that's kind of, you've seen that with Westbrook. He's had years where he's been the 1 seed and years where he's been the 8 seed. So he kind of fits that role. Same with LeBron recently, at least. He used to obviously make the finals every year, but we'll see what happens here. So I guess we move on to the LA Clippers now. Big news, obviously, first, Kawhi re-signs, I believe, a 4-year deal with a player option.
Yeah, I think it's 3 plus 1, so 3 plus the player option. But yeah. I think that that's just something that had to happen. In the end, he waited long enough that there was no other team that could really re-sign him. So we were just wondering kind of what the numbers would be. He's going to be out all this season is what people don't realize. Like, maybe he'll be back in the playoffs, but especially with his load management and kind of worrying about his health. I don't know if he'll even play at all, even in the playoffs this year. So there was talk of him like kind of flexing his muscles, getting a 1+1 deal, which would basically give him free money this year for not even playing, and then have the opportunity to re-sign again next year. It'd be a little less money, but give him more flexibility. I just think it's a little ridiculous. Like, the Clippers have to re-sign him, but the fact that he's not going to be playing at all kind of just shows how stuck they are, where they don't really have any other options. But it's good that he signed this contract. I think he's even with Paul George now. They'll both become free agents at the same time, so they can make a chance to leave. But that is in 3 years, so I don't think there's too many questions there. But we'll continue talking here about kind of what the future of the Clippers is and what we think they can actually do. I think they were the title favorite the year the Lakers won, the bubble year. They were the favorite that year, and it just didn't work out. And last year just didn't work out. Granted, Kawhi Leonard went out. They had a serious chance of beating the Suns there. I mean, they might have been a better team than the Bucks or the Suns with Kawhi, but we'll just never know. And this year, the rest of the West is better too, so we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, you're right. I don't see this team ever winning a title with this roster. I think we can get to that a little bit later when we do our ceiling floor. I think last year was probably their best chance with all the injuries. I think if Kawhi doesn't get hurt, but obviously other teams were injured, they could have won the title. I think you'd say that about a lot of teams though, saying, oh, that was the Jazz's chance to win the title, or the Bucks' chance, and now they got it done, or the 76ers' chance to win the title. So we'll see what happens. I think you have to make an attempt to bring Kawhi back. You can't just say, oh, we're not going to – it's hard to win with this team. We're just going to blow it up when you're only 2 years in and you've got two superstars. So you got to try to bring him back. But they've got a lot of money on the table. They're trying to make some more deals to bring in a supporting cast. I just think other teams have a better roster in – this team clearly has had a chemistry issue the past 2 years. I'm not sure how they're going to fix it. I think Ty Lue is probably the right man for the job, but it might just be too much of a challenge.
I mean, the team is pretty deep. I pulled up the roster here. After Kawhi, we have Paul George. And then it's a bunch of guys at pretty even talent. We've got Serge Ibaka, Marcus Morris, Reggie Jackson, Zubac, DeMarcus Cousins, newly acquired Eric Bledsoe, and Luke Kennard, Nick Batum, and Terrence Mann. Like, those are a bunch of, like, worst starter on your team quality caliber guys. I mean, you think they're – this is probably the wrong time to use it, but if you're thinking 2K, they're all, like, 77, 78s. Like, they're all just, you know, in the middle there. All those guys I mentioned, Batum, Kennard, Bledsoe, Cousins, Zubac, Reggie Jackson, Marcus Morris, Ibaka, Terrence Mann. Like, they're all just kind of sitting there in the middle, and it's hard to win when – you definitely need at least one or more of those guys to step up. And the playoffs last year is kind of Terrence Mann, but we'll see who else can step to the table, and they'll need a little bit more scoring with all these guys in the same position. We'll just have to see which guy rises to the occasion and ends up being the person to take them as far as they can.
Yeah, so let's talk about that Eric Bledsoe deal. They got him, gave up a pick, I believe, and Rajon Rondo and Patrick Beverley. So they give up two guys who don't do much offensively, but two of the better defending point guards in the NBA. So I said to you before we started recording, I'm not sure who wants Eric Bledsoe these days. And they give up two really good perimeter defenders, so they lose some defense. And I guess they gain some scoring, although not very efficiently, from Eric Bledsoe.
I mean, it's a bad contract, and he's not even that much better, in my opinion. Like, he's good, but Beverly, honestly, is – I might prefer Beverly. It could be these chemistry issues you mentioned. It could be that they just need to get those guys out with some equal level replacement. But while Rondo really hasn't been doing much the past couple years, Beverly's actually been really solid. I mean, he threw a ball shoved Chris Paul, and that was kind of his highlight of the postseason last year. So you could say he hasn't really done much. But I still think he's definitely a guy that's been with the team for a while and knows what to do. And Eric Bledsoe just hasn't really done anything. Like, he's kind of fallen off a cliff since the Bucks. The Pelicans, he was really terrible. And I just can't see this being their new title-contending type point guard or starting point guard. I don't even know if you'll start with the way Reggie Jackson improved last year. So the only way I can see it making sense is if just those personalities didn't really work, which if they can get their personalities to work, they'll be a much better team. That was their biggest problem the past couple of years, but it's just not a huge upgrade, like you said earlier.
Yeah, I agree. I think Patrick Beverley has made strides offensively where Rondo is really, he's kind of plateaued where he's at age 35, 36. But Beverley, I think, especially when all these teams are getting judged by how they perform in the playoffs, the regular season is losing more and more importance each year. You need guys that can guard in the playoffs, and I think Patrick Beverley gives you that. The only thing I can really think about is the chemistry. He's got a very strong personality. It might not mesh well with that of Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. So I think Reggie Jackson, obviously I think Reggie Jackson's a better player. Although we've seen guys throughout the years, the older guy will start even though when he's not better because guys like being the sixth man. So we'll see how that works. Yeah. Kind of a good transition into Reggie Jackson, who did not an extension, but he re-signed to the Clippers 2 years, $22 million. Kind of underpaid in my opinion.
I agree. I mean, he's probably the third best player, if we're being honest. This team has a history of really good six men. I mean, year after year, Lou Williams won it, I think, three times, but one was not with the Clippers. And then Montrezl Harrell also won it there with the Clippers as well. So this team has had some great six men come through. Maybe Reggie Jackson can take that role. He was really good in the playoffs last year, especially when Kawhi went out. He really stepped it up and was their second best player at that point. And he'll probably be their second best player this year with Kawhi out. So I think he wants to stay there, and hopefully he can kind of step into a role that he really agrees with. I think that I don't understand, going back to the Bledsoe deal real quick, what the Pelicans are going to do, because you just mentioned there at the end that the kind of clashing personalities with Rondo and Beverly is kind of a package of guys who are very confident, and I don't know how that worked with a new player like Zion Williamson and that team that has a ton of issues. We'll probably talk about them later, but I thought that was interesting both ways.
Well, they're going to Memphis because remember Eric Bledsoe got shipped to Memphis first, and that's who traded him.
Oh, okay. Did he get flipped earlier this year?
Yeah, he got flipped like a week or two ago in free agency for with Steven Adams for Valanciunas.
That's right.
Really a center. It was really a trade for centers, and to get it done, they had to throw in the Bledsoe contract to Memphis.
Yeah, that's right. We talked about that earlier. I mean, either way, that's another deep team. So it wasn't even necessarily the Pelicans. I just think with any team, I'm not sure if those personalities are going to go away. So that was my only thought.
Mm-hmm. So what do you see as the ceiling and floor for the Clippers, I guess?
Without Kawhi, I don't think their ceiling – I don't think they can win an NBA championship. I think that the Bucks were kind of regarded as one of the worst championship teams in the past couple of years. And without Kawhi, there's no way they're better than the Bucks were. And it's going to be way harder than last year to win a championship with all these teams coming back, the Nets being the super team in the East that really it's them against everyone else. So – I can't say a title is their ceiling. I'd say probably maybe Western Conference Finals, maybe winning the first round. Without Kawhi, there's nothing else. There's Paul George, who's had so many playoff questions. And then literally we talked about how Reggie Jackson's probably their second best player. I mean, most teams with Reggie Jackson as their second best player, you don't really see coming out of the first round. I mean, all the other teams have at least a 1 and 2. Like you talk the Suns, you've got Chris Paul and Devin Booker, Jazz of Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, the Warriors of Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. Like, all these teams have a 1 and 2, even the Blazers with Lillard and McCollum. And when your number two is Reggie Jackson, I just can't see you going that far.
Yeah, if Kawhi is not – this team without Kawhi, I don't see him as a playoff team, honestly.
Yeah.
I think Kawhi gets back, and I'm not sure how long – he had surgery, correct?
I think that was reported a while ago. Yeah,
I think he'll be back like a few weeks in the season is what I've read. But if he gets hurt again or re-injures it, is out for a period of time, this team in the East are obviously a playoff team. I think Paul George and even a half season of Kawhi can get them in. In the West, I think their floor is losing in the play-in, and their ceiling, I agree, is the Western Conference Finals. I think they can make a playoff run, but it all depends on the health of this team.
Well, I'm not an expert on injuries, but it was an ACL for Kawhi, right? And that's usually like, what, 9-month injury? So
I think it was a partial ACL, so it could be like 5 to 6 months, I'm pretty sure.
I guess that makes me a little more optimistic, but you're right. With the West, I mean, you either even have those bottom teams that we just mentioned earlier with Eric Bledsoe, like the Grizzlies, the Pelicans, even the Kings now have made some strides, even though they'll probably miss the playoffs yet again. I mean, all these teams are really close, and so it's hard to expect the Clippers without Kawhi. But I didn't realize it wasn't as severe. I was kind of expecting him to miss the playoffs, but if he can make a little more of the season, maybe they can have a chance. But then again, as I said earlier, really no title hopes for the Clippers here.
I agree. So I think that wraps up our Battle of LA preview and offseason recap. So we'll be back tomorrow looking at the Atlanta Hawks as they made some big deals this offseason.
All right. I think that'll be a shorter episode, and it'll be great to see you tomorrow.
Yep. See you then. Thanks for listening.